Well, today's message is based on 1 Peter, which I want to read to you, if you want to follow along on your folder. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Hear the word of the Lord. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or thief or as an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. What God gives, strength. Would you consider yourself to be a strong person? Of course, you would ask me, well, what do you mean by strong? Well, there is physically strong. There's being emotionally strong. There's mentally strong. There are persons who are strong in their convictions. There are persons who smell strong. It's all kinds of ways we use that strength. But what God would have us explore today, and what it really he tells us, is the ultimate strength is spiritual strength. Our scripture has Peter writing this letter to the earliest Christians and explaining to them why they needn't be surprised that they're undergoing suffering and persecution. I wonder how I would do, or how you would do, if there were a bunch of thugs waiting right outside the church doors here, and anybody who wanted to come to worship was going to get a beating. What do you think that would do to our attendance at church? It'd be tough, wouldn't it? These Christians were not being attacked because they were evildoers, criminals, lawbreakers. And you know, that could have made them very, very bitter. They could say, this isn't fair. All we're trying to do is live out what we believe, and what Jesus taught us had a lot to do with love. And yet we're suffering because of this? This is not fair. And yet they didn't become bitter. At least we don't have a record of that. And why did they not give up the Christian faith? I'll tell you why. Because they were strong. They were strong. Now, we may not presently be persecuted for our Christian faith, but troubles do swirl around us. Financial problems, health problems, relationship problems, work problems, school problems. Watching someone we love go through terrible and enduring suffering. We can suffer. We can hurt. Are we strong? Are we strong? What happened to these first Christians was, and this is an important word now, sifting. They were being sifted. Yes, God permitted their suffering. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. God let it happen. As Jesus illustrated in the parable of the sower, only some seed grow to maturity. Others were overcome by persecution and trouble, and so they fell away. Others were choked by fears and anxieties of life. They fell away. Others were deceived by the false idols of their lives, of their time. They fell away. And yet the strong, the ones who had faith, they remained. I would not be surprised that in the very near future, God would allow a new sifting of American Christians. You're here today to get strong so that when you're sifted, you remain. It's very important that we continually worship our God and receive from Him the strength that He wants to give us. Nevertheless, as the Scripture says, no matter what comes upon us, God is ready to help us, to lift us up, to restore us, to make us strong, steadfast, and firm. Isn't that what it said in the Scripture? That's God's desire. Kindergarten class went to a fire station where they toured the fire station, and they were also given a lesson on fire safety. They were told by the firemen that if there's a fire in the building, you go to the door and put your hand on it, and if it feels hot, then what's the next thing you're to do? You're to drop to your knees. You know, I've only fought one fire in my life, and it was in Alabama on our street, and I didn't know this basic lesson, and I got a year's fill of smoke in my lungs because I didn't get down on my hands and knees. Where you can avoid the smoke. But one of the little children said, as the fireman asked them, "Do you know why you should get on your knees?" And one little tyke spoke up, "Sure, to start praying to God to get you out of there." Yeah. And you know, he's right. That's the thing you should do. When do we pray? Well, prayer is most appropriate. I'm not liking that word, but prayer is almost a necessity when you face a really difficult situation. So why do Christians pray? Because we believe His Word, because we know He wants to help us, because He sent Jesus to die for us, and we know that He loves us. We know that He listens to every single prayer that we pray, that He weighs them, He measures them, He acts upon them. He intends for our life to be there for us. Listen to this now. His intentions for our life are always good. His intentions for our life are always good. No matter what's happening to you, oh, I'm suffering. His intentions for your life are always good. Now, we have to keep one thing in mind. God has clearly told us that we have a ferocious enemy, the devil. He goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, people scoff at the idea of the devil. You just start a discussion with people out on the street somewhere, your friends, and you start talking about the devil. And they'll start smirking. They'll start chuckling at you, right? And it even goes a step further. People, lots of people, especially non-believers, they don't believe in evil, so to speak. They believe in bad things. But evil, no, because evil suggests a devil, an enemy. But not us Christians. We believe that there is a devil because we believe God's word. And that is a great advantage to us. We know that the devil is going to hit us. We know his tricks. We know what he's up to. And we can beat him. You know, with these murders in California, all the people wondering, giving their opinions as to what happened and everything, you know. And they don't even consider the fact Satan was there. It's evil. It's evil. Oh, if he had just gotten help, if he had just gotten more counseling, if the parents had been not so spoiling him so much and all that sort of thing. What? We know better than that, don't we? We know there's an enemy out there. And we can beat him. People of faith, the end of the story is always the same. We come through by God's grace into everlasting light. So, given our scripture for today, I ask you, can we be strong, spiritually strong? The answer is yes. Sometimes we forget that Peter and the other disciples were very ordinary men with very flawed lives. Oh, they had pride issues. Who's the greatest? I'm the greatest. You the greatest? No, I'm the greatest, right? This is the disciples. They had all the other temptations that afflict us. You think some of the disciples had lust problem? Yes. Envy problem? Sure. Greed? Definitely. Unrighteous anger? Most definitely. They had all those things. They were exactly like us. But by their faith in Jesus Christ, they underwent a transformation. They humbled themselves and trusted in God's mighty hand upon their lives. In short, they grew strong. You can see this transformation if you read the New Testament. It takes strength to say no to revenge, right? It takes strength to say no to lust. It takes strength to say no to envy and jealousy. It takes strength to say no to greed. On the other hand, it takes strength to say yes to love. Yes to generosity. Yes to faithfulness, kindness. And most definitely, it takes strength to say yes to forgiveness, to forgive others. So, what does spiritual strength look like? The shortest and best answer is it looks like Jesus, the strongest man who ever walked this earth. He trusted and depended on the Father entirely. He brought to mind the verses in the Psalms. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I'm helped. Or God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Jesus lived out those words. And he means us to do the same. So, how are you going to get strong? Grow in strength. Just how does the Father give his strength to us? How does he do it? You have maybe been to the Tennessee River here, and maybe you have seen the rowing crews, the beautiful shells filled with sweating and straining rowers whose movements are so amazingly synchronized. Have you seen that? Anybody seen that? It's a beautiful sight. If you haven't seen it, where have you been? I hope you get to see it. And they pull those long oars through the water. In his book, Finish Strong, Steve Farrar writes this. Those rowers have their backs to the finish line. So how can they possibly finish strong? How can they win the race? How can they pace themselves? How do they know when to sprint? If they can't see the finish line and focus upon it, how in the world can they have an effective race? And the answer clearly is they focus on the coxswain. He's the guy with the megaphone sitting at the end of the boat facing the crew. He's the only one who knows where the finish line is. So the rowers look to him or her, listen to him, obey his commands, count on him to coach them to the finish. He paces them, he encourages them, and they trust him implicitly to get them across the finish line in the strongest possible way. They are counting on the coxswain to enable them to finish strong. That's the Christian life, people. How do we finish strong? We focus on who? Who's our coxswain? Jesus Christ. Who's our coxswain?
Jesus.
Yeah. We focus on him, and by just doing that, we grow strong. When we focus on Jesus, and I should probably define that, when we focus on Jesus, we're taking in his word. We're trusting what he says. And so when we face the true tests of life, we're strong. Yes, in some cases, we're physically, mentally, emotionally, in every way, we're strong. Now, there was one disciple of the 12 who didn't focus on Jesus. Who would that be? Judas. And what did he focus on? Money! He focused on money. What do a lot of people do today? They focus on money or pleasure or power or whatever. They are not going to be strong when the storms come. They're not going to be strong. They're not going to finish strong. Focus on Jesus Christ. One thing we can be sure of, God wants you to be strong. He is the God of all grace. He is the God who called you and destined you to eternal glory. He is the God who watches over you. And yes, lets you experience hardships and suffering in order that you might be refined and grow strong. Yes, he lets those things happen to us. Trouble swirls around us. Fears afflict Christians still. Fear is the sand in the machinery of life, said a great preacher of yesterday. We can be crushed. We can be perplexed. We can have our hope in this world dashed to pieces. But God gives us Christ, our coxswain. If Christ is focused on, he promises to come and live within us. And if Jesus Christ is within us, we can handle anything that comes from the outside, no matter what it is. Make it your desire to grow strong in Christ. Pray and ask that God will give you strength, and he most certainly will. In Jesus' name and to his glory, amen. Amen.